Good morning. It is June 8th, 2009, and this is an encore presentation of the Brain Labor Report.
We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers.
Don't you know what to say?
War on the workers.
When they talk privatization,
war on the workers.
And cooperation,
war on the workers.
When they call you a team,
war on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. They can lock us out, they can lock us up. We cannot give in. Flexibility.
War on the workers.
Every worker stiff can see.
War on the workers.
Now when they poison your water.
War on the workers.
Don't go like lambs to the slaughter.
War on the workers.
And when they foul up the air.
War on the workers.
You gotta show that you care.
War on the workers.
When they talk WTO.
War on the workers.
You best be screaming hell no. It's a war on child labor protection. It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on social security. Now thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time, sisters and brothers, you know it's time right now. I said it's time.
What kind of world would we have if we called the shots? That's right. Ann Feeney starts off the Brain Lab Report every morning with a war on the workers. And that last line just kind of rings there for a minute. What if we called the shots? My God. Well, I'll tell you what. How about $600-700 billion? A bailout for working people. Wouldn't that be something? We could have health care. Everybody in the country could have health care. We could stop the foreclosures on people's houses. That's happening because of the corrupt banking industry that literally is, it's the most bizarre thing. We're going to bail them out, the very people who've stolen this money, illegally acted. We're going to turn around as taxpayers and give them more money. How about the money going to ordinary working people? People who get up every single morning. I'm talking about, you know, Joe and Bill and Susie and people who get up and go to work. They work hard. By gosh, you know, they're not low lifers. When you get hit with a catastrophic illness. I don't care if you got good health insurance or not. They're coming after you. They do not want to pay it. In fact, health insurance companies make money by denying claims. That's why one of the most foolish tricks on America right now is the idea that health insurance equals health care. We'll talk about that and other things when we speak with our guest, Michael Kaufman, this morning on the Brain Labor Report. Brain Labor Report comes to you every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific time. This is Wes Brain. I'm host of the show.
This is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
Sometimes we do a little rant at the beginning, and it's kind of fun. It is. There's a lot to rant about, I'm telling you. The Brain Labor Report, always near the top of our half-hour show, likes to bring you the Workers Independent News. 3 minutes of cutting-edge news out of Madison, Wisconsin. And Frank Imspach Project continues to be a real anchor for the Brain Labor Report. So for Friday, October 17, 2008, here is the Workers Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Acorn says while individuals it hired may have turned in false voter registrations, Acorn itself is not falsifying voter registrations as portrayed by John McCain's campaign and some corporate media reports. Acorn's Austin King says the vast majority of Acorn's 1.3 million new voter registrations are legitimate and will give low-income voters a real voice.
This was a phenomenal effort that has made our voter rolls look more like America. And because of that, the electorate that shows up on November 4th will look more like America. And when more low-income people participate, we get more power.
GM announced on Thursday it plans to cut 1,500 more jobs, 400 in Delaware, 700 in Michigan. The three plants being targeted for those cuts produce large sedans and pickups. The automobile industry saw its sharpest decline in 17 years during September as sales plummeted 27%. Dr. James Parrott of New York's Fiscal Policy Institute says that a new study by the Center for Economic Policy Research reveals that median wages for young U.S. workers today are lower than 30 years ago. Unions, Parrott says, raise those wages by an average of 13%.
Unions make an important difference in the compensation and the pay and benefits that young workers receive. And that could, you know, that could be one of the reasons why young workers, young people generally are so anxious for significant economic change in this country, because they see that their living standards have been held back by the kind of policies that we've had.
New York City workers whose jobs depend on the health of the financial sector could be looking at hard times, Jesse Russell reports.
New York City Comptroller William Thompson had a dire projection for employment over the next 2 years. Thompson estimates that 165,000 jobs could be lost in the city due to problems in the financial markets. 35,000 of those jobs could come directly from the financial sector. New York City is the heart of the country's financial industry, and as banks file for bankruptcy or are bought out, jobs are expected to be lost. The losses brought on by the financial crisis are being reflected in decisions by New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. He recently asked city agencies to slash spending by 2.5% this fiscal year. Here is today's economic report. There are many ways to measure the health of the local economy. One way is to count the number of vacancies in your local mall. According to a report from real estate research firm Reese, vacancies at malls are up 6.6% this year. That's the largest increase since 2002. Strip malls and open-air shopping centers aren't faring any better, with vacancies at 8.4%. For those type of malls, that's the highest rate since 1994.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report. I think we'll go to a song here in a minute. We'll see if we can get this morning's guest on the show. We'll be speaking with Michael Kaufman. I don't know Michael. I guess I think I know the name. I believe he was connected with some of the great work being done by Tony Mazzocchi and the Labor Party. I do know that he does work with health care reform. What else do we know about Michael? He's on the East Coast. We're on the West Coast. So He's probably more awake than we are this morning, a little bit after 10 o'clock for Michael. Got a phone number for him here, a cell phone. Hopefully we can get a good connection. But while we make that call, we got a song for you. It's Bill Lawson's song, Healthcare as a Military Campaign. That's the long name, the long version name for his music. And Healthcare Now, that's the short version. Okay, let's listen to that right now. Here we go.
Succeed in privatizing the military, you'd better get your gun. We've seen it all before, no compromising. You'll be defending yourself before they're done. We've got enough arms to protect us from the thought. Now we need a healthcare plan to defend us from the. We need national healthcare. National health. If the government does the job of running an army as need demands, they do.
Okay, national health. We need national health care now. Health care as a military campaign. Bill Lawson's song is awesome. That should be a national anthem, I'm telling you, when we talk about health care. We like to play local musicians, and Bill is, you won't hear Bill on the local mainstream media. And it's unfortunate because, boy, has he got a voice and does he have a song. Okay, I think we have Michael on the phone now. Michael Kaufman, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Michael Kaufman, let me start out by just thanking you for being our guest this morning on the Brain Labor Report. Michael, for a point of introduction, would you just tell our listeners and us, don't know you very well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Michael, please.
Sure. I currently facilitate the healthcare work group of the Coalition for Democracy of Central New York. It's a volunteer community organization of people in three rural counties in New York State. And I facilitate our meetings, and we started a local paper. And previous to that, I've worked in health and safety issues with unions and worked in other media organizations before that.
Well, that's pretty good work, and so you're not a corporate lawyer. You don't make the big bucks, do you, Michael?
No. My day job is working at a newspaper, and it's not exactly high pay. So,
okay. Well, I'll tell you what: the best work in America is done the way you're doing it. It's people who have a day job so that they can do the important work that needs to be done. And hats off for you. The Brain Labor Report likes to talk about the issues of ordinary working people, and by gosh, we talk about progressive issues all over the board, Michael, and like to make the connections with our progressive issues to the ordinary worker. You do talk about health care. I want to find out more about the work that you're doing with health care reform. By gosh, okay. We don't need it. We don't have any problems with health care, do we, Michael? What do you think?
Well, I think they're pretty bad, and not just for the uninsured. I think probably everybody knows the 46 million uninsured now. But what I see is the bigger problem is people like myself who have a job and have insurance, and every year our co-pays go up, our premiums go up, our deductibles go up, and the number of doctors available, particularly in rural areas here, gets worse and worse. And for unions, it's the number one bargaining issue. It's the sticking point in most bargaining, because the bosses, their premiums keep going up, and they're trying to shift the cost onto the workers. And so, you know, here in America, we pay twice what any other industrial country, actually more than twice what any other industrial country spends on health care, and yet we're 29th in performance, health care, major health indicators. So it's getting worse. The system is literally breaking down. And for the vast majority of us who have to work for a living, it's a real problem. People bankrupting is the number one cause of bankruptcies in the United States. And it's not so good for the medical providers either. They're fed up and pissed off about, you know, the 1,200 or so insurance companies whose forms they have to fill out, every one of which is different from each other. And there's been an interesting shift in the last dozen years or so, where it used to be that the doctors were opposed to a single payer system, like most industrial countries have, or certainly a socialized system like some have. Now a majority of doctors, 59% by a recent poll, actually support having a single payer system. And a lot of it comes from, you know, talking with their own patients and their own personal frustrations with having to deal with so many different insurance companies. You know, over 90% of them say insurance companies dictate, you know, how they should do their job, and they think to the detriment of their patients. So it can be pretty, it's a bad situation out there. I'm sure all your listeners have their own personal stories. Basically, everyone we talk to here either knows someone or they themselves have bad experiences with the healthcare system that, you know, are a result of the mix of, you know, private insurers that we have to deal with here. I recently we met with the executive board of a local communication workers union here at a large factory in the region, and also there were people there from a couple of the unions, Teamsters and whatnot, and they were telling me that it's the biggest problem, and they're fed up. Hey, they're factory workers. They don't want to have to sit there and figure out arcane financial deals about insurance, and they're fed up with it. They want one system. They don't want people to be prisoner to their job anymore. People are afraid to quit or move because they're going to lose their insurance, and or they're going to have to get a whole new different list of doctors every time the company changes plans, or if they change jobs, they want to be able to pick their own doctors. That's, you know, that's a difficult situation. I've been through that many times myself. Every time I change jobs, it's whole new set of doctors that I have to deal with or find, and all new rules, and you know, which facilities I can go to, which, you know, hospital is in plan if I have an emergency, and which isn't, and you know.
And Michael, that's before you have the claim. Then after you have the claim, then it's a minefield. Oftentimes, getting the damn thing covered. And folks, if you're joining us right now, we're speaking with Michael Kaufman. He's on the phone with us. He's from New York, and by gosh, he's our guest on the Brain Labor Report. We're talking about a national disaster. It's health care in this country. Michael, we got the best health care that money can buy, though. Don't you think that's true? I'm being sarcastic. Maybe that's not even true also. Please keep talking. We like what you're saying.
It's not true. We people want to believe that, and we certainly have very talented medical workers of all kinds here in the country. And if you have lots of money, you can probably find some of the best care anywhere. But in terms of health indicators, we're way down there. The infant mortality is used as a major indicator of health services. And the United States is down there at 29th, according to a most recent study released a couple days ago from the Center for Disease Control. And even though it went up a couple hundredths of a percent from a year ago, we're still way below the rest of the industrialized world, and we have shorter lifespans than people in other industrialized countries. There's just all kinds of problems. So no, we don't have. And like we have here in Delaware County in New York, we spoke and interviewed a doctor who worked in our area for 15 years, Dr. Laura Chalfin. And 3 years ago, she gave up on our rural area and moved to a rural area in Canada, actually Hornby Island in British Columbia. And she now earns roughly three times what she earned in rural New York.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, she says that being a doctor, it's just a relief. She had to have all these people just on her staff just to deal with the insurance companies in the United States. And there she doesn't. She says in the United States, people would save up their ailments because they couldn't afford the co-pays, and they'd come in. It was much harder to treat. Whereas there in Canada, people show up with, you know, a single ailment, and it's easier to treat, easier to deal with. And they just have to show a card. Everyone in Canada gets a card. And though their system isn't perfect, it's far better than ours. Canadians spend on average, I think it's $3,326 per person. Americans spend on average $6,401 per person. So as you can see, we're spending twice, and yet we don't get the care that they get. She gets a premium to work in a rural area there, and here, particularly in rural parts of the United States, if you don't live in, you know, in Manhattan or, you know, Los Angeles or San Francisco or some, you know, some major urban center, you can't even find a doctor to see you. I have a friend I just saw this morning, and she's got a serious problem. She's been looking for a general practitioner now for 5 months after I took her to the emergency room, and just couldn't find him. It looks like she just found somebody about 90 miles away from where she lives.
Wow.
And it's you know, I'm hoping that this is going to work out. But 5 months to find a general practitioner. She's been going to specialists. They only want to treat in their particular specialty. They don't want to deal with it, you know, with all of her problems. And, you know, that's a real problem.
It sure is. Michael, you state the case so well, and I like the way you talk about the problems in the rural. Here in southern Oregon, most people will say on the East Coast, we're talking about Oregon, they say, oh, Portland, I know somebody that da-da-da-da-da lives in Portland. Well, that's about 300 miles away from us, Michael. And what happens in Oregon, in the rural areas, is Oregon's a donor state. We send money to the federal government. We don't get back as much money as we send. And Medicare and reimbursements are such that in the rural areas, doctors are not being able to, well, practice what they've, you know, gone to school and what they've chosen as a career. And so the very same problem I hear you talking about, we have, and it's dramatic here in Oregon. Let's keep an eye on our time. We've got just 5 minutes left to go. I'd like to continue the conversation because it's most interesting that we have so much in common. It's a national problem. And from sea to shining sea, we have many, many stories. Many of them are ugly, horrible. They're a black mark on America, might be one way of stating it. What I want to ask about is the solutions. I think one of the biggest tricks in America is that insurance, if we get everyone insured, then we'll take care of health care. And unfortunately, the major movements for health care reform have their eye on that target right there. I'm going to guess you agree with me. That is not the problem. It's part of the problems of health care insurance companies. We need them the hell out of the system. And we've only got a few minutes. Would you comment on that? I'm guessing you might agree, Michael.
Yeah. The New England Journal of Medicine ran a study this past year that showed that 31% of what Americans pay for health care is basically for private insurance company bureaucracy, also corporate, you know, perks and stuff like that. That is an enormous waste of resources. What I believe and what our group is working for is to set up a single-payer system, meaning that there would be one health care system for all people in the United States, and that you could choose any doctor, not just the list that your particular insurance company, if you are currently insured, has. And the savings from eliminating that 31% would more than pay for covering everybody who's currently uninsured in the United States and would allow for an expansion of coverage. So there's currently a bill in the House of Representatives, as it's known variously as the Medicare for All bill or the Conyers bill. John Conyers was the original author of that bill. It's the current number in that for the bill is H.R. 676. And we think that that's a pretty good bill. Maybe not perfect. It allows for a transition period for those who work in the private insurance companies or handling their things, giving them a couple years of unemployment compensation, and giving them first crack at jobs in a new national system. It would lower costs. Currently, Medicare, which is the closest thing we have in this country to a single-payer system, but unfortunately that's only for older folks. They have an overhead of, depending on which study you read, somewhere between 3% and 5% versus the private system, which has got a roughly a 31% overhead. So you can see the savings are enormous. And a lot of people have lined up behind it. Many unions nationally, the AFL-CIO, and many individual unions, many national churches have lined up. Many cities have lined up. New York State recently passed, the New York State Assembly just passed a resolution this past summer endorsing this national bill, H.R. 676. It's something that is, I think, an attainable goal. And actually, with the current economic downturn, it makes even more sense, certainly more sense than either of the major party presidential candidates' plans, because it's the one plan that actually cuts costs while covering everybody and extending a wider range of services, whereas the other plans don't cover everybody, cost far more, and are much more dislocating than this one.
Michael Kaufman, we got less than a minute to go. It really is time to say goodbye. You are a shining light. The work you're doing, the words that you speak to us this morning, we need to have lights like you all across America. We need to echo our voices. We need to have it part of the mainstream conversation in this country. And it's great talking to you. We do got to say goodbye now, but thank you so much for the work you're doing and being a guest this morning on the Brain Labor Report.
Okay, well, do well there. Keep going.
We got to keep going, by gosh, and we can bring about health care reform that makes sense in this country. Okay, folks, we're out of here. Have a great weekend. I hope you don't have to work this weekend and you get some time off. Life is too short. Okay, we'll be back again on Monday. See everybody.